From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of May 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And John Lighty of TruePoint in Botkins, Ohio, will be here for the cash grain segment. Bruce Bostard is out of the office up there in the Ludlow Co-op elevator this afternoon. Along the way today, we'll hear from Fabian Fernandez, soil fertility specialist on this campus, about nitrogen applications made last fall and whether that anhydrous ammonia managed to stick around this long. Of course, it's no longer in that form, but is the nitrogen still there? It was an awfully warm winter. He has some good news for producers of corn. And we'll close out our segment, of course, by talking about the agricultural weather forecast. Jim Angel of the Illinois State Water Survey, located at the Prairie Research Institute, will be on hand as we finish up this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago on a Friday afternoon, futures in the corn and the wheat pits finished higher, but the soybeans were lower for the day. Nearby Soft Red up $6.95 and a quarter on its settlement price, gained 37.5 cents in Chicago. September at $7.03 for the wheat, up 33.5. At Kansas City, the July hard red at $7.05 finished 33 cents higher. July corn futures up 10.5 cents at $6.35.5. September at $5.46.5. Finished 8 higher in December. Contract at $5.37, up 8.75. March corn today, $5.46.5, up 7.25. The May at $5.57, up 9.75. And July futures, $5.63.5, up 8.75. Next year's September at $5.47.25, up 4. And next year's December, that's the 2013 harvest month, at $5.39, up a penny. July bean futures were down 33 cents to settle at $14.05. The August at $13.81, 24.25 lower. September, $13.27, down 20.5. And the November at $12.88, down 18.5. January beans at $12.86, 18 cents lower. And the May contract at $12.42.75, down 18. Bean meal at $4.17.90, down $10.10. And the bean oil on the afternoon finished at $50.32. That's 40 cents lower. Live cattle in the August at $121.92.5 were up $1.87.5, and the August feeders at $160.70 up $77.5. This is the Closing Market Report. The lean hogs in Chicago finished at $88.57 for the July futures, down 17.5. Here's what the outside markets look like for the day. June crude oil at $91.51 a barrel, $1.07 lower. Ethanol at $2.21.7, up 3.6. Natural gas at $2.74.4, that's 15 cents higher. Heating oil at $2.83.2, a penny and 6 cents lower. And the gold futures on the afternoon at $1,591.60 an ounce, up $17.10. The U.S. dollar at 81.27, down 0.1 for the day. The weather forecast, as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, says we'll see sunny skies, a high of 84 degrees on a south-southeast wind at about 8 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear skies, a low this evening of 58, and then tomorrow, sunny skies and a high of 89. Saturday, mostly clear night this is, with a low of 65, and Sunday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1. Mostly sunny, a high of 88 degrees on a south-southwest wind at 8 to 13. Sunday night, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and a low of 62. Monday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, with a high of 76. And Monday night, we'll see a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and a low of 57. On Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 76 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, and a low around 57. On Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 78. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, and a low of 62. And Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 83 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Jim Mangel at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
When Dan Zwicker told us he was moving to Louisiana, we thought, hey, let's go see him. Actually, that we had to go see where he works. So Will Ag's putting together a 5-day bus tour in August. Yes, we know you might be combining corn. We'll see. Should be about $800, but you get 2-night stay in the French Quarter with nothing to do but play, a night at the casinos in Tunica, and one on Beale Street in Memphis. Hey, vacation or business. The business part will include a tour of CGB Enterprises Rail and River Terminal on the Ohio River, its export facility in Louisiana, and stops to see Dan Zwicker and John Bondurant. We're working on a fertilizer import facility tour, too. If you'd like to learn more, look under the photo of Dave and me at willag.org.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Friday afternoon. On the phone line, Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Hi, Mike. How are you today?
Great, Todd. Thanks for asking. How you doing?
I am doing really, really well. Well, we heard a lot about the weather forecast over the last several days, and the numbers that we see even from the National Weather Service suggest it's going to be very warm in our part of the world. And wheat futures have just exploded to the upside, I suppose. Well, you might call that exploded, but at least they're up pretty sharply for the day. Does it surprise you?
No, but what does surprise me, and I think this goes back to the conversation you had with Jerry Bangy at Commodity Week last week, is that if you look at the weekly closes, the July Chicago wheat was actually up about 3.25 more cents than the July KC wheat. That's what really shocks, I think, me as a when I look at the spreads, and why would that be? And I think it goes back to the issue that the trade has caught on to the idea that if you see a shortfall in hard red wheat in Kansas and more disappointing yields in Oklahoma because the rains did not develop as forecasted and we've lost yield in the last 2 to 3 weeks, probably we'll lose more if we get to 100 degrees next week as forecasted. That automatically drives back to the fact that this feed wheat that was going to come in and take away some of the demand from 2011 corn, it's probably not going to happen. And in fact, on Wednesday, I think it was, South Korea's NOFI purchased both number 3 corn and feed wheat at the exact same time. And I found that very interesting because they paid $2.75 a ton for the number 3 corn, $2.70 a ton for the feed wheat. So we have essentially closed that gap because we've seen Chicago wheat go up 98 and a quarter cents this week. July corn up about 54.5 cents. So there is no real reason to go ahead and buy feed wheat now like there was just a week ago.
Okay, so can you explain to me very quickly the difference between number 2 yellow corn, which is what we would normally talk about on the air, and number 3, and why it's important that was the purchase that was made?
I'm trying to get as close to feed wheat quality as I can so that I right. don't have a number 2 yellow corn like at the Gulf. The yellow corn is 267, so by the time you get it over to South Korea, it would probably be running in close to $300 or over $300 a ton. So I'm trying to get as close to feed wheat comparison in terms of quality as I can, and that's where the number 3 comes in.
Okay, and then your point is that this will continue to give a boost to the corn market at least through the old crop season, or does it go further than that?
I think it goes back to what we talked about a couple, 3 weeks ago on the Commodity Week program. About after the report came out, and this or right before the report came out, I should say, and this idea that the corn carryover is probably closer to, it probably has a 7 in front of it, or maybe even a 6 in front of it for 2011 versus an 850 in front of it. And today's high in July corn takes us right back to the April 10th level in price, and that was that when we were trading at 801 million bushel carryover. So if we stay dry, my point is, if we stay dry, not only has it started to clip the hard red wheat, but now as we go forward into Memorial Day, because of the crop being probably 100% planted on Monday's numbers or very close to it in corn, you'll start to clip the potential yield in corn as well. So Dave asked the question this morning, do you think there's a lot of new longs in the corn market right now? I said, I really don't think so, because we really haven't generated the reason to get into the long side of the corn. Another reason I say that is because Japan let it go this week that they are looking at only having about 25% of their export needs covered from July to September, and looking for a big dip in these corn prices to go back down around 480 a bushel, and to try and get as much as they can from South America. I think that plan's going to be very, very hard to implement if we stay dry here next week and into the Memorial Day holiday, and I think that's what would probably bring in the new longs. And if I'm wrong about that, because the outside markets give way, well, I think at least with the supply theoretically falling, then the downside in the corn maybe isn't as great as it was just 2-3 weeks ago.
Okay, so what happens if all these longs, and I don't know how many all is, but
right,
if the longs get into the marketplace, what's topside potential at least, and how much difference does it make, old crop, new crop? And I still think we need to differentiate between those two maybe, but you can tell me.
No, you're right. I think it's a huge difference. To answer your first question, is I wrote in my weekly copy last week that if we could get the wheat market to not pressure us with an early harvest, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago or 3 weeks ago on Commodity Week, you asked, can we get a turn here in the market? And I said, it's going to be tough with early wheat harvest and a big crop expected after that Kansas wheat tour. That's all scrubbed now. So at this point in time, the overvalue level I continue to run with these corn is 620. I still believe that we're closer to a 1.2 to a 1.3 carryover, and I think the market will migrate towards that in the next 10 to 20 days if the weather stays what it is. So I still like shooting after the 200-day moving average of 580. In the Dease corn, with the ultimate objective of getting up to that 620 overvalue level and getting all the hedges back in place at that point. To go back to your other point about the old crop, new crop, it's huge because that goes back to the timing of when would this all take place. And I think by the time you get to the June stocks report, if we continue to have this type of weather and this type of corn demand and golf price at the NOLA, then you're probably going to have this priced in by the time you get to that June 30th report.
And
what we did last year, essentially. We went ahead and priced in as much bullishness as possible before the June report.
Would you be pulling the trigger at that point?
I told people on the email this morning with this weather, this being the macro and micro extremes are getting crazy at this point. I mean, we're seeing a ship sink and contagion probably start to spread over in Europe right now, from Greece to Spain to Italy to maybe Ireland, and so we're looking at the disbanding of the euro at this point, something not even thought about 2 weeks ago. At the same time, we've seen wheat rally a dollar, something not thought about 2 weeks ago. So the extremes are getting wider and wider, Todd. I wrote on the email this morning on the weather update to clients, let's use next week's rally. Whatever we can get out of next week's rally going into Memorial Day holiday, if we can get a nice strong rally, let's start scaling and selling again. Hopefully we will be back into that, you know, closer to that 200-day moving average at that point.
Okay, so that tells me that for a new crop, if you're looking at a 1.2 instead of a 1.88,
right,
you think it'll all be priced in and ready to go by the time we get to mid-June or thereabouts, right?
I think the September and the July will have to do the heavy lifting so that the vast majority will be in there. The other number that makes me lower, makes me down at 1.2, 1.3, obviously is yield, so that should be started to be factored in.
Yeah.
Old crop, that should start to be factored in. But then there's the export market. I think USDA is about 250 to 300 million bushels too low on exports for 2012. Why? Because there's no Argentine competition. And I think the Chinese are in there for the long haul, especially as one of the EFG guys pointed out this morning to me on the phone, nobody's talking about the North China Plain. And I went back and I looked at the models and I looked at the 30-day and 60-day precip anomalies, and he's 100% right. The North China Plain is an issue that's really not even being discussed yet. So I think the export market is under assumed by the USDA at this point, too.
Yeah, earlier this afternoon, just a few minutes ago, the cattle on feed numbers were released. They show, Mike, as of May 1st, that on feed are about 100%, placed in April at 85%, marketed in April at 99%. Did you get a chance to digest those, or did the wheat market consume you for
the
day?
No, I think the on-feed number at the top of the range and the marketing's number at the top of the range would suggest maybe the trade comes back and buys fat cattle and sells feeders, because we got a little bit more on the ground and we've been able to push out the marketing's better than expected. And the marketing's number, Todd, solidifies the idea that we've had a better early spring, early summer grilling season than maybe the trade was thinking maybe 3-4 weeks ago. So I think those numbers kind of help each other out and support the idea that demand in the summer grilling season has started out really, really nicely. So maybe the fat cattle find support off of the feeders. that would make sense if we go into a weather market in corn as well, because that probably will start to impact negatively the feeder market some.
Thanks so much for taking so much time.
Have a great weekend, sir.
Hey, you too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's a Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Two items from our Will Ag site. First, you can always pick up Commodity Week. Our guest this weekend will be Jerry Golke. We'll record at 4:30 this afternoon. Posted to Will Ag by about 6 o'clock this evening, Central Time. And don't forget to hit the link for the Follow the Corn Tour. And you can register. The sooner, the better. Up next, farmers throughout the Midwest have a corn crop up and growing. Now they're thinking back to the warm winter and wondering if something should be done about the nitrogen applications. The problem with warm winter as it relates to last fall's anhydrous ammonia nitrogen application is leaching. It's a problem that just has not developed this year, says University of Illinois soil fertility specialist Fabian Fernandez.
This last fall, the concern was that temperatures were warm and that we may have lost a lot of that fall application just because of the warm temperatures. We have looked at soil nitrate and ammonium nitrate levels this growing season, or early in this growing season, and we actually found that most of the apply anhydrous ammonia with N-serve, these were applications with N-serve in the fall, were still in the ammonium form when we started, end of February or so. And then, of course, as temperatures warmed up from then on, we got a lot of that ammonium transformed to nitrate. And the concern, of course, is if the spring gets wet, then we could potentially lose some of that by leaching or denitrification. But that has not been the case. So the main message that I want to share with farmers is that if you apply all the nitrogen for this growing season, then that nitrogen should be available for the plants.
Essentially, it was warm enough to cause a problem, but not wet enough for it to develop. So the anhydrous ammonia application has transformed to nitrogen. It just hasn't been washed out of the soils and is still in place, ready to be used by the corn plant. If, says Fernandez, the farmer did not apply already all the nitrogen to be used for the season, then he says, now is the time.
Well, in terms of the application for side dress right now, the best options, of course, are injecting nitrogen. You want that nitrogen in the root zone, and by injecting it, you're already putting it where the roots will be growing. A little bit of the concern right now is that soils are dry, and if you apply anhydrous ammonia, you could potentially create some leaf damage by the free ammonia that escapes to the surface if you don't get a good seal in that application. Luckily, a lot of the fields, they look very dry on the surface, but there is still good moisture to retain that ammonia in the subsurface. So my recommendation would be make sure that when you start that you're getting a proper seal. If you get a proper seal, then continue on with the application.
That's for side dressing anhydrous ammonia. Other viable nitrogen application options at this time of year include injecting UAN between the rows. Now, Fernandez likes that option, or possibly a broadcast application of urea.
Now, with the dry conditions again and no rain in the forecast, we may have a problem of volatilization of urea. So it's best to apply that urea with an inhibitor that will protect it from volatilization, such as agrotane. Other sources of nitrogen, ammonium nitrate, ammonium sulfate, are good sources. They can create a little bit of leaf damage. But the good thing about those two sources is that they do not volatilize if they are left on the surface for a few days until they get incorporated by rain.
You may read more from Fabian Fernandez on nitrogen applications for the corn crop in this week's edition of the University of Illinois Crops Bulletin. Search Google for The Bulletin, University of Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
This is the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. John Leidy of True Point Cooperative out of Botkins, Ohio, is now on the phone line to take up the cash grain market. Thank you so much for taking the time with us, John. We do appreciate you doing that. Could you go back through the crop and the harvest that came from the western part of Ohio and the eastern part of Indiana, how late it was and how good or bad that might have been in 2011?
Well, it's the latest harvest I've seen in my career of 35 years, Todd. We actually had our biggest harvest day two Sundays before Christmas. So I've never seen that before, but the crop finally got cleaned up by the end of the year. We had a couple days where the ground was frozen, and it was a good crop, a crop that was planted after Memorial Day last year. First week in June, most of the corn's planted in west central Ohio, and we saw a lot of 180, 200, even 220 bushel corn. It was wet, but we saw an amazing growing season last year on a very short growing season. And this year, it's just about the opposite so far.
Well, let me talk to you a little bit about placement of that crop then. So without it available, I think that what happened was that parts of Indiana, certainly parts of Illinois, then serviced the southeast portion of the United States, the poultry and the hog industry, which oftentimes I think would be serviced by Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Did that leave you with more crop in the bin at this point than usual?
I guess I never had really thought of that, but no. We shipped a lot of stuff on rail into the southeast market this winter and this spring, and just loaded a couple unit trains this week even. That is starting to slow down, though, as wheat is being harvested in the south, and that southeast market is starting to dry up a little bit. But the ethanol market is still very, very hot here right now. We're seeing bids 45 to 51 over locally at the ethanol plants. And there's still seems to be a little bit of corn left around in the country.
Right. So that is the question. Is it a lack of corn in the country or just lack of willingness to let go of it?
I'd say tight farmer holding. But there's still some corn around. And right now, this year, unlike last year, we're a little bit on the dry side here. Crop has gone in very timely. Corn is up, and the beans, most guys will finish beans this weekend. I would say by Monday everything will be planted around here. We have seen some replanting this week. We got a rain about 10 days ago that plastered in some crops, and a very active replanting in some areas on soybeans, but the corn is really good shape. And if we get a rain now, I think you'll see people loosen up on this old crop corn. But yeah, after a couple of years of seeing, $7 and even $8 cash prices, we've been in the mid 650 flat prices here all winter long, and guys were just hoping for something a little bit better. But as they see this new crop coming, I think we'll see it loosen up here,
John,
shortly.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Thanks, Todd.
John Leidy is with True Point Cooperative out of Botkins, Ohio. Back in just 2 minutes.
It's National Cheese Soufflé Day. It's also Rooster Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1808, Elijah Craig died, a Baptist minister in Kentucky. He was an important figure in the invention of bourbon whiskey. He ran a paper mill and started a distillery in 1789. Legend credits him with being the first to use new charred oak barrels to age corn whiskey. which is a key step in making bourbon. In 1824, Wilhelm Hofmeister was born, a German botanist. He discerned the regular alternation of sexual and asexual generations in plants, which is the basis for the explanation of the life cycle in all known plants. In 1875, Robert Horton was born, an American hydraulic engineer. He is considered the father of modern hydrology. His studies established a basis for the analysis of soil erosion that enabled strategies for soil conservation. In 1935, Alan Burns was born. He was the creator of the character Captain Horatio Magellan Crunch for Quaker Oats Captain Crunch breakfast cereal. And in 2001, Hong Kong ordered more than 1 million chickens and other poultry killed to halt the spread of a bird flu epidemic. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
This is the closing market report on a Friday afternoon. Time to check the weather forecast. On the phone line, Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute. Jim, thanks so much for taking a bit of time this afternoon. There's an awful lot of discussion within the trade about the dryness across the United States, and that was supported by the National Weather Service in a couple of different ways over the last 6 or 7 days. Yesterday's numbers on the longer-term outlooks, and then, of course, there was the drought monitor index and some thoughts that most of the states in the U.S. were drier than they usually have been at this time of year. Are we really flirting with a big drought?
You know, that's kind of what I've been talking with various groups about, is that, including some of the drought monitor folks, is that we just seem to be not in a full-blown drought yet, but about the time you think we might be okay, we go on a long stretch of, you know, like a week or 10 days with no rain and warm temperatures, and it starts to dry out again. Then we get a few showers, and things look a little brighter, and then we slip back into it. So we've been behind on precipitation for the last 2 or 3 months, not by much, but just a little bit. But the temperatures have been so warm. So we really are starting to dry out the soils a little earlier than we normally would for this time of year, as you mentioned. So, yeah, that is a concern. And then you start looking at the forecast out. Like, for example, this weekend, there is a chance of rain on Sunday and Monday, but the percentages are small. And the amounts they're expecting are only 1 or 2 tenths. So it's just not enough there to really maintain soil moisture. Kind of the rough rule of thumb is normally we get about an inch of precipitation a week in the summertime. And, you know, if you don't get an inch this week, that means you've fallen that much farther behind. So it is kind of a concern. And we see even out to the 6 to 10 day and 8 to 14 day forecast, those are also look fairly dry and also very warm.
I know this is going to be a question you can't quite answer scientifically, but are we what, in term meteorologic or climatologically, 3 weeks ahead of schedule, do you think? Where do we stand?
Yeah, something like that. About 3 weeks is kind of the standard right now as far as, you know, temperature. If you look at temperatures or degree day accumulations, those kinds of measures, we're running a little bit ahead of schedule. So
about the same place the crop is.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so... yeah, so you kind of think it's really more typical what you'd see at the maybe more like the middle of June rather than the middle of May at this point. So, yeah, that all kind of makes it we're kind of in a little bit of new territory here in that regard.
Okay, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking time with us.
You're welcome.
That's Jim Angel. He's at the Illinois State Water Survey. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Please do visit our website at willag.org. We'll post Commodity Week there by about 6 o'clock Central Time this evening. We record, of course, at 4:30 in the afternoon. Jerry Gulkey of the Gulkey Group is our guest. Our panelists include Aaron Curtis and Kurt Kimmel and Wayne Nelson. Commodity Week, it's our look at what happened in the world of agriculture. That wraps up this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.